Welcome to Career and Life Direction. I'm Nathan Olson, or Norwegian Soul, and thanks for visiting this site today. If you haven't been to this site before, I might mention that this is a website for you if you're trying to gain a better understanding of who you are so you can make career and life decisions that are fit with who you are. And today we're going to be talking about dealing with setbacks. Everybody, no matter where you live, will probably be dealing with some setback in the process of trying to move ahead in your life, in your lives, and particularly financial setbacks. And today I'm very happy to be speaking with Brent Eliasson. Brent has been working with people who have been facing, well, some of them severe financial hardship, and for quite a few years now. Brent, how did you get started at the Farmland Security Board?
I farm north of Swift Current here with an extended family unit farm. And in 1988, I decided that I'd better look for some other off-farm income because it was a record dry year and the income from the farm was not enough to look after two families. And so I, through an interesting set of circumstances, ended up talking to somebody from the Farmland Security Board, which is a government organization in the province of Saskatchewan here that administers the Saskatchewan Farm Security Act. And that act prevents creditors from walking in without any notice and taking farmland in the province here. It specifies that farmers must be given a minimum of 150-day window in order to sit down with a field consultant, who in this case is me, and try and work out something with their creditor that will avoid the foreclosure. And if that doesn't work, then the creditor is still free to go ahead and foreclose, but it has to provide the opportunity to the farmer, and it's optional on the farmer's part, but it has to provide the farmer the opportunity to sit down and go through mediation with the creditor to see if there's some way to avoid the foreclosure. And my job in the process is to work with the farmer. I am what's called a field consultant, and it means that I go out, if the farmer is interested in engaging in the process, I go out and sit down with him over the kitchen table, and we put together a financial statement that looks not only at a balance sheet, but it also looks at where the farm has been in terms of income and expenses over the last 3 years. And it also tries to do a budget that would project what income and expenses might be in the coming year, and on that basis decide if there's any reasonable chance of the farmer meeting his mortgage payments and his other debt commitments, or if not, we look at opportunities that might be there to change the farming operation or to change the debt structure or any number of things that would enable him to actually meet his obligations. And the way I got started in this was, like I said, because it was a dry year in 1988, and I started to do work for the board and have been doing contract work for them off and on ever since.
So I'm assuming, just based on that introduction, that when farmers see you coming, I mean, their situation is not very positive, but they must be happy to see you there because you are there to help. Is that how it's perceived?
Well, I have to always make sure that they don't think that I'm the creditor and that I'm there to collect.
Okay.
Because, that oftentimes doesn't work so well. But once I explain that I am there to try and level the playing field a little bit, because the farmer hopefully never goes through this process, but if he does, he goes through it kind of once or maybe twice in a lifetime at the most, but the creditor is doing this kind of thing all the time. And so, I mean, to them, it's old hat. I mean, foreclosing on somebody and trying to realize on their security is just part of their job. And for a farmer, somebody coming and saying, I want it, take my land or take your land back, because that's securing your loan and you aren't paying your making your payments on your loan, that's a much more scary thing for the farmer than it is for the creditor. And I'm there to help the farmer as an advocate to try and help him work out something with the creditor that will work and allow both people to be happy.
Okay, so thank you, Brent. And I'm just thinking that some people listening may not farm, may not be familiar with that, but they still would be facing different financial struggles, maybe some severe in different parts of the world. And just in your experience dealing with people, what has it been like to work with people who are faced with the prospect of potentially losing their livelihood?
Oh, it's both kind of a scary prospect, but it's also a very rewarding prospect because I get to work with people who are oftentimes very distraught and feel like there is no hope, like there's nothing that can be done, and there's nothing more rewarding to my way of thinking than to be able to help a farmer put something together that will not only help his farm to be more profitable, but will allow him to continue to do what he has wanted to do as his chosen vocation.
Okay, so just in your experience, I mean, you've been doing this for how many years has it been?
Started in 1988, so it'd be about 24 years.
So you've talked with a lot of different people.
Yep, that's, yep, for sure.
And just what kind of responses have you observed? I guess people are different. They respond in different ways. How do people tend to respond? Is there such a way as a general response to this type of a situation?
There's not a specific general response, but there are some general responses. Some people would rather just avoid the whole problem.
Okay.
When they get the registered letter from the bank in the mail that says giving notice of intent to foreclose, in other words, the bank is signifying that they are starting the foreclosure process, some farmers will even avoid picking up their mail because they know that something is liable to be coming, and they think that by avoiding picking up the mail, they're going to avoid the problem. Those kind of people are hard to deal with because you almost have to be able to recognize that you've got a problem and want to do something about it before you actually can fix anything. Somebody else might generally say, it's hopeless, I don't know what I can do, it's I'm over, my life is over, my career is over. And those people, it's quite rewarding to be able to, if we can, work something out that will encourage them and show them that life isn't over. Farming may change a little bit. You might have to change your operation, or in some cases, the farmer might be in such bad financial straits that there's no equity left in the loans, and that there's not much prospect of turning the farm around to make it profitable. And in that case, helping him to know that there are other options out there to make a living, and farming doesn't have to be his only way of making a living, that's another thing that we run into too. And other people who are proactive and who see this coming and want to do something about it and are eager to look at alternatives and ways to change, those are the most fun people to work with because they recognize the fact that things can change and that it isn't hopeless and that they just need to do a little tweaking to get things fixed.
So some respond in denial, some respond with despair, some are a little more positive. Can you think of anyone that you've dealt with over the years who has been, well, just unusually optimistic, even in the midst of this difficult situation?
Well, I run into that every once in a while because some people say, well, I don't really have a problem. I haven't made my last two annual payments on my mortgage, but I don't really have a problem. It's just that this happened and that happened, but really it should get better next year. And farmers by nature are often optimistic, sometimes to the point of fault, because they see it's always next year country. I'm going to get a better crop next year. It's going to rain more. There's going to be more grass. I'm going to have better luck calving, those kind of things.
And, okay, so being positive isn't necessarily positive.
It is a positive thing as long as you recognize reality. You have to have sort of a dose of realism with that positive thinking, because to say, I don't really have a problem, and the bank, they just need to be patient and wait and they'll get their money. Sometimes that's true, but other times it's not true, and it only gets worse, and the farmer loses equity in the process, because if he gets another year behind in his payments, then interest just keeps chugging away, and if he's in a situation where he's losing money anyway, then losing more money means that I've actually got less equity in the land and in my whole farming operation.
Okay, so if anyone is listening and they have financial struggles, real financial struggles, I'm taking that it's wise to face them head on and just try to understand where you are to begin with.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, avoidance and sort of looking for other alternatives can only sometimes get you into more trouble if you don't recognize that you've got a problem, because oftentimes I'll see visit a farmer who maybe had an operating loan for his farm, but that's it sitting at the max and it's not rotating like the bank wants it to do. You usually want to see your operating loan paid down at least once during the year, down to zero balance and then back up again. But if the operating loan is sitting at the max and the farmer is still short of money, then oftentimes the credit card application comes in the mail, and so, oh, this is a simple solution. We'll just take
Okay.
another credit card. And oftentimes you'll see, not often, but occasionally you'll see somebody with five or six credit cards, each with a 10 to 5 to 10 or $15,000 balance, carrying a balance on it that they're paying some minimum interest payment on per month, and just keep adding the shortfall from the farm to the credit cards, and that gets you into trouble very quickly because of the interest rate that the credit card companies charge.
So paying debt with debt at 20% or a little bit less is not a good idea.
No, that's a killer.
All right. Now, I'm assuming sometimes things turn out well, maybe sometimes things don't turn out very well at all. How often have you been able to help farmers avoid foreclosure, or is it hard to say?
Well, statistically, the office does keep records of kind of how many foreclosure notices actually go through all the way to a court report and to court, and we end up solving something like 80%, I believe the statistics are, of the notices that come through. And sometimes those are solved by the farmer on his own, because maybe he'll say, "I don't really want your help because I know I've got a Durham check coming or a lentil check coming that will cover this thing, and I'm going to get it done. It's just that I haven't been able to move my grain or that kind of thing." And so those kind of situations are part of the statistics too. But of the files that we work on, a significant portion of them are ones that we are able to solve in one way or other to avoid the foreclosure going on to court and the creditor actually getting the land.
Well, that's encouraging, and it seems then one application for maybe people again who don't farm is that if they are in financial trouble, they need to seek outside help.
Oh,
I guess
without a
if they
doubt.
don't know what to do.
I think things like the credit counseling agencies that are out there for consumers, that's a really valuable resource for people to come and talk to too. And there's no shame in coming to talk to somebody about your debt situation. And in fact, the most proactive thing you can do is, if you think you've got a problem, is to talk to somebody, because the worst situation is when you assume that I'm the only one who's got trouble. And I've seen that with farmers too. It's not quite so prevalent now as it used to be 20 years ago, but 20 years ago particularly, you didn't want to tell your neighbor that you were in trouble, because then you'd look like the poor farmer, and your neighbors happen to have shiny equipment, and things look like they're going well over there. But once you open his financial closet and start looking through his situation, maybe his situation, even though he's got shiny equipment, isn't very good either, because maybe it's all borrowed money, and if he's not making his payments too. And so the best thing you can do is to be open about it, and and take some encouragement from neighbors and friends who maybe are going through the same kind of situation you are, because to feel you're in a financial mess or a wreck on your own is pretty discouraging. And the more people who are, I guess, not that you tell the whole world, but don't be scared to let somebody know that your situation is, that you're going through what you are too, because it's encouraging when you have like-minded people that encourage
So,
you.
yes, that's good. I appreciate that. And just with the global economic downturn in mind since 2008, I'm assuming that quite a few people find themselves in that situation. And here in Canada, maybe it's not as critical in other places, but still, the bankruptcy rates, well, just in the brief time I had to look that I've noticed, have climbed. About 150,000 people have serious financial problems in Canada each year, and the rate is a little bit higher, I believe, overall in the States. Now, as you try to evaluate the situations, again, there's a lot of variety, I suppose, but is it usually that people are in a situation beyond their control, or did they do something, make one bad decision that caused them to be where they are? Is it a bit of both? How do you interpret what is going on?
Oh, it's definitely many different reasons. Farming is a risky business for a number of reasons, one of which is the weather. You're dependent on the weather. It has to rain in order to make a crop. It has to rain to make grass. And so if it doesn't rain, there are things like crop insurance to help mitigate that, but it doesn't cover all of your losses if it doesn't rain. And so risk management is a big part of farming. Another risk is interest rates. Even one of the reasons that people got into a considerable amount of trouble back in the 80s was that interest rates maybe started at 8 or 10% when they took their loan, but when it came time to renew that loan, interest rates went up to 14, 16, 18, and even 20% at the banks at the highest. And if you couldn't make, if you were just barely able to make your payments at 10 or 12%, then at 16%, you were falling behind, and lots of people got into financial trouble that way. Sometimes it's buying taking on more debt than you should. And that's one of the things that I think is valuable about the kind of work that we do, is we look at debt ratios, that kind of thing, to see what is a comfortable kind of a debt to carry for the farm. And if people are exceeding that, then they're taking a risk that if a little hiccup comes in either prices, world prices, and that's another thing you can't control, is the price of grain or the price of cattle. For example, in early 2000s, the BSE hit the cattle business, and overnight the price of cattle dropped to maybe half of what it was the day before or the week before, and stayed low for a number of years, and that got people in trouble too. So many things can happen. It's not just making bad decisions. It can be any number of things.
Now, just in your experience over the years, are there any specific financial resources, for lack of a better word, that you've stumbled upon that you might want to point people to if they're having struggles, or would it depend again on their situation?
It depends a little bit on their situation. I mean, some resources are more pertinent to farmers. Some are resources are good for business people or even consumers. Like I said, credit counseling agencies are useful for consumer debt. And that's one thing that's kind of scary about Canada now, is that our consumer debt is very high, and we're at risk of people defaulting on more of their debt if, in fact, interest rates would happen to rise or the economy goes bad. That's one thing. But for farmers, there are some very good resources in the government websites and farm organization websites. There's financial management resources. There's all kinds of break-even calculators, tools that you can use for financial analysis to try and help your operation be as profitable as possible. Farmers are not always really good at using those kind of tools, or even wanting to do the bookwork kind of stuff, because it's simpler to just go out and do what I know how to do well, which is know how to put in a crop, I know how to look after that crop, and I know how to raise those bushels. But sometimes it's more important to sit down and look at, is my farm making money? Is this a good move? Or am I actually making money on this crop? Or is the chances of it being profitable very small, in which case I should look at another crop or look at something different?
So it's important to take some time sometimes to step back and sort of reassess in order to move ahead.
Perspective is the biggest thing that I would like to preach to farmers that I go and see, because lots of times the feeling is that I'm down in the forest and I'm beating my way through the bushes, but I can't really see which is the best way out of the forest. But if I was had a little more of a long-term perspective and a bigger perspective in life, a lot of these things come a little clearer. And I think about even my own situation. We ended up with a financial wreck back in the late 80s and early 90s. Early 90s, I guess, and it was to do with interest rates and that kind of thing. And when I faced the possibility of maybe not making my living farming, it was, even though I'd been working with farmers in that kind of situation, for a number of years, it was still like somebody punched you in your stomach when you realize that you're in financial trouble yourself.
Not a positive situation.
Nope, yes. Not positive. And one, it helped me a lot to think about my situation and what's important to me. When I analyzed that, the things that are important to me, the most important were my faith is important. My wife and my kids are important to me. My family is important. Where I live is important to me because I enjoyed living on the farm, and I enjoy my kids. I like the school where we went, and I wanted to keep my family on the farm if I could, because it was a good place to raise my family. And then maybe fourth or fifth down the list of priorities was how important it was to actually own the particular land that I'm trying to own, or the resources, the machinery that I'm trying to own. And when you think about it over the long-term perspective, and that's where perspective comes in, 200 years ago, I couldn't tell you what native was camping on the land that I'm, that's part of my farm now, or that I'm owning. And it didn't really matter which one was there. They were just there to make a living. And 200 years from now, I guess somebody could look by looking back in some musty old records to find out what I owned. But it doesn't really matter. What's important is the relationship that I have with people. And the only thing I leave when I leave this earth is the relationships that I've had with other people. The rest of it is all sort of secondary in nature, I think, to the kind of relationships, I guess, are the important thing.
Well, thank you, Brent. We could talk for quite some time. I'm afraid our time has come to an end. But I just want to thank you very much for sharing your thoughts and your insights. And I hope that many people listening here in Saskatchewan, in Canada, and in various parts of the world will benefit from your experience, your insight, and your advice. So thank you.
No, you're welcome.
And I'm Nathan Olson, or Norwegian Soul, once again. And thank you for joining us today at Career and Life Direction.